Brother, I'm going. Run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his jaw cord. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. And what is up, everybody? It is We Too Deep back with another Friday episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. For those who are new, Tuesdays is when myself and DJ Wavy D get on here. We sit here, we toss some ideas back. We talk about wrestling. And then on Fridays is when I get up on here and run my own sort of solo show, where I sort of either further explain my ideas or maybe, you know, like today, where I go on a rant on something that isn't necessarily important, doesn't need Wavy D here. It's just sort of my own opinion. And it gives Wavy D a chance to be a listener, and it, you know, allows me the opportunity to sort of, speak my mind sort of uninterrupted, like the original version of this show, that I think that some people want to see as well. But with that, you could tell by the title, you know, I've done several of these, like Dear IWC, Dear Casual Fan. I'm hitting the whole fan base today. We're not going to review NXT. I'm changing this whole show. This may be the shortest episode I ever record. This may be one of the longer episodes. It just depends on how long the rant goes. I got some things I need to say to wrestling fans. And we got one news topic I want to talk about. We'll do that rant, and then we got to react to it. That sort of brings it full circle of what I'm ranting on today. So this news is that Dijak, actually today is the 28th. So today is either the last day of Dijak's contract. He said it ends today. So I'm not exactly certain if what he meant by that in terms of, is this the last day of his contract, or and he can be a free agent tomorrow, or was yesterday his last day and he's a free agent today? Not exactly certain what he meant by, I'm not going to read the statement. Y'all probably have already seen it if you're, you know, if you pay attention to wrestling news. My assumption is this, and maybe I'm assuming wrong. My assumption is this, is if you're looking for a podcast, right? If you're looking for a podcast to watch wrestling, you're probably on the internet already. You're probably already listening to Cornette. You're probably, or Bischoff, or any of the top 10 or 15, you know, podcast. You're probably on TikTok. You're probably on X or Twitter. And so you probably already know the news. I'm just going to give my opinion on the news. Like, I'm not breaking any news here. This is just my opinion on what has been broke, right? So Dijak's gone, which I assumed was going to happen when his contract ended. Because for several reasons. One, this sort of goes back to the conversation. I feel like we can put a lot of people in the wrestling business in this same conversation that I've said about wrestlers like Mercedes Moné, now Dijak. There's a lot of wrestlers. Ricochet could be in this conversation. There's a lot of wrestlers that I feel are just replaceable. Are just replaceable. In the WWE, right? And Dijak is a great talent. who his first run in NXT, where he had his first name Dominik Dijakovic, that first run was stellar. The Keith Lee versus Dijakovic match was one of the ages. But outside of that and that run, not much really came out of it. He gets called up to the main roster, put in Retribution as T-Bar, and that's really where the momentum stopped, not by his choice, but just by bad booking. This is what I say a lot of times, is that the booking is 90% of wrestling, and Dijak can be the most over character in the world, right? He could be the best wrestler. Let's say this. Ilya Dragunov, to me, is one of the top three wrestlers in the world right now, right? But he's only that way because they've not only can he wrestle and he cut a promo, but they've made him important, right? They've booked him. Like, Bron Breakker is only got the sort of praise that he's getting because they're giving him booking that makes the audience feel, right, that he is as dominant as they're portraying him, right? So the booking is right. And so when you book someone as T-Bar and you give them the crappy Retribution gimmick, you kill what any momentum, if he had any, in his first run. He goes back to NXT for a few years, sort of rejuvenates, but he was never really in the title picture, right? He was never going to be NXT champion, right? And he had some memorable matches. He put in this statement, and y'all know how much of a NXT mark that I am. He put in the statement how he just came out of having one of the most talked about WrestleMania weekend matches. Now, I'm an NXT mark. I watch every NXT. I watch the PLEs for NXT. Like, I'm invested in NXT, right? And I've sat here for what feels like 2-3 years at this point, trying to convince an audience that NXT is the best brand in wrestling, right? And but Dijak, I had to look up who you fought at WrestleMania weekend, which is crazy because I then go and I checked, okay, this was Oba, this was Josh Briggs, this was Dijak. I had to physically Google the match Dijak was in. And I was sitting there, I was like, was it memorable because of Dijak? Now, the match was very good from my recollection of it, right? To the point that I actually have it as a candidate on Match of the Year. But it's not Match of the Year because of Dijak. It's a match of the year mostly because of Oba, right? And I don't actually think it's match of the year. It's a candidate, probably going to be like top five best for me this year. His presence in it wasn't memorable to me, right? And so for you to say that, and for someone who watches NXT as much as I do, to immediately have the thought of, I don't even remember who you fought WrestleMania weekend. I think we have this problem in the wrestling world where we have wrestlers who overvalue how good they are. I think they overvalue how good they really are. And I think the strategy too, because if you overvalue yourself and he can get an AEW offer and overvalue, and then he could turn to WWE and say, the ball's in your court, you got to pay me what they're paying, right? And so I get it, but at the same time, like Dijak, I don't think if you leave that people are going to miss it that much. I just don't. Like, Dijak was great. He played his role. You know, when he was in the ring, they were good matches. But his role at this point, let's just be honest, the sort of veteran, older guy who goes after younger talent and puts, you know, like he went after Eddie Thorpe, right? Well, that spot on the NXT roster has already been replaced with Sean Spears. The guy who has a gimmick that's a little bit out there, you know, Sean Spears, you know, has this, like, you know, there's, I don't really know how to explain Sean Spears' gimmick. You know, it's, you know, sort of like no pain, no gain without pain type thing. And whereas Dijak sort of had that mysterious sort of gimmick where they had a little bit of like creativity there where, you know, he walked around lost my train of thought there for me. You know, but Dijak walked around with the nightstick and like his own form of justice, right? And Sean Spears sort of has taken that role. It's a little different in presentation, right? But it's almost like Sean Spears has already replaced Dijak. And then he gets drafted and then he's gone. He's just out of there, right? I think this is how WWE is going to run talent contracts now. I don't think they're going to release anymore, unless there's like someone ask for a release. I just think what's going to happen is they're just going to start letting contracts run out, rather than releasing them, for two reasons. One, that way, I think it makes them look a little bit more humane. Hey, we just let them run out, right? Even though with the 90-day clause, they still pay them. I think it makes the PR behind it, instead of having all these mass cuts every year and all the wrestling fans sort of, you know, hate on them for doing what every other sports organization does and release talent. And that's just how the business works. You take in new talent, you get rid of the older talent. Now, where does Dijak go? That's where I want to end this conversation on Dijak. Where does he go? Because everyone's immediately, Dominik Dijakovic is going to end up in AEW. Now, maybe if there's money involved and that's all he cares about. I mean, he is 37. Maybe he wants to get that big payday. He doesn't care about TV time or all of that. I think, though, you could go to Impact. Or TNA. I think you can go to TNA. Because here's my problem. He's too big for AEW. Right? He's too big. Like, they don't book Lance Archer well. They don't book Brian Cage well. They don't book Luchasaurus or Killswitch or whatever he's going by now. They don't book him very well. Right? And so it's just... It makes no sense for him to go to AEW. It does make sense for him to go to TNA. Because he can go in there. He can immediately get interlocked into a feud with the system. Right? Or, you know, immediately against Moose. That would be a fun match. You know, he could go somewhere and start a feud with someone like fight for the digital title from AJ Francis. Or hook up with... you know, as a team or a faction with someone like, what's the name of this team? It's Jody Threat and Danny Luna. I can't think of their team name right now. I think he could fit in that gimmick where he could be like a male. I think we can get some factions, or he can come in solo and you know, do some things on a TNA level where he gets more TV time, he gets more ring time, he gets more press. You know, even if it's going after the X division, Ali, I believe, is still the champion there. I think TNA makes the most sense. But this is coming back to when the release of AJ Francis and Mustafa Ali and Dolph Ziggler and all of that happened. Right, and they didn't immediately sign with AEW, and some of them started going to TNA, and there were rumors that at the time that WWE and TNA were working on a deal to work together, and obviously that has come true. I've said that it feels like to me that WWE let these contracts go, or they released these people, and it's just essentially going to be a contract transfer to where the older talent or talent that they just don't have room for on the main roster WWE for their main programming. Excuse me. That essentially they're going to let that transfer, and they're sending them to TNA almost as like a contract transfer, it feels like, and letting them go to TNA. And they still, you know, if WWE was smart, they'd just let him out the door, know that he goes to TNA, and every now and then you can bring Dijak back to NXT through the forbidden door of TNA. And I think that that's a win-win for WWE. You don't have to pay him, and you still have access to using him if you need it. I mean, so that's for one, for WWE's sake. Yeah, you want Dijak in TNA. But for Dijak's sake, I think it's just the best place for him to go. I don't think that there's AEW would not benefit him unless he wants the money. And that's all that it is. If that's all this is about, he wants the payday before he hangs up the boots, that's fine. I just, historically, you look at the bigger guys on the roster, and none of them really get pushed to the moon, right? And my fear is they'll be having Dijak, you know, bodyguarding for the Elite or whatever. You know, they just turned the tallest guy on there roster, I think, what, Satnam Singh, wasn't it? That he just got transitioned to an announcer. So it's not like they're using the big guys in the way that they need to. So that's Dijak. I probably spent way too much time talking about Dijak. He's replaceable. He's not needed. Like, he's one of those guys that, you know, you want to have him, but you're not going to hate to lose him, type thing. And so it is what that is. It's part of the business. I wish the best to him. It would be kind of hilarious, though, if, you know, his contract ends today and he's on Collision tomorrow. That'd be kind of funny. All right, but let's get to the main event. So when I made this decision to completely just rearrange the planning of this show and take away NXT review and all of that, just to have this rant, I was a little bit, it's a little bit heated. There's a discussion I think we need to have. And I started it last week on Friday with the Don't Touch the Sacred Cows episode. And I'm going to continue that because it happened again this week where, you know, I posted a single tweet about the Wyatt Six. And I'm going to break this down. We had this conversation on Tuesday as well with me and Wavy D, and I want to thoroughly clarify my stance on this, right? So the week of the debut, I posted a tweet stating essentially that if we got to get rid of the spooky at some point and get it into the ring and actually go somewhere storyline-wise, right? I put that on X, put that on Facebook, put that on TikTok. TikTok is now got that tweet, that single tweet. It's not a video. It's just a snapshot of the tweet or a screenshot of that tweet. It's at 10,000 views right now. Now I want to clarify this. I didn't post it for the views. I did not expect this thing to get 10,000 views. I expected to get my 200, 300, maybe two or three people post some sort of comment on it, and then we move on from it. But that thing's at 10,000 views right now. And a lot of comments and a lot of things like that, right? So this Monday, I did the same thing. Now, after the Nikki Cross segment, where she comes up from the ring with all the smoke and delivers like a package to Michael Cole. And then she walks off the stage and we go to commercial, basically. I posted the tweet, my opinion, not gonna lie, but that Wyatt Six segment was pretty lame, right? I thought that the singular Nikki Cross segment, the problem is 15 minutes later, they air the tape. And so when people are finally seeing the tweet or seeing the, because I put it on TikTok as well, when people are finally seeing it, it's after the tape aired. And so they're not understanding the context of the tweet that was in context to Nikki Cross and not the actual footage on the tape. And I've already explained on Tuesday, I thought that individual tape segment was, again, produced perfectly. I didn't say this, but it reminded me a lot of one of my favorite shows that USA actually had on their network called Mr. Robot, where the main character, Elliot, he lost his dad. And he wanted to the whole show. I don't want to really spoil it. So you guys, if you guys want to watch it, but the whole premise of the show is, as you find out that his dad was, his dad died from a disease that he got from working at some plant for some major company known as E Corp, and so the whole four seasons goes through, you know, him and a group of friends hacking into E Corp, destroying the company by hacking into it, and then the reasons why they did it. And so I felt, you know, but Elliot, the main character, what this reminded me of was he would at times be talking to, and there would be scenes where I can't think of the actor's name off the top of my head right now. That played him. I think it. Anyway, it's he would be talking to another character who was his dad, but it was a figment of his imagination. It was his therapy, right? And so this character has similar like. So there's, I'm not big in the genre, but if it's done right, now I'll be honest with you. I only started watching the show because the promos talked about like destroying the 1%. And that was like a message at the time in like 2014 that I was really high on. And like I thought it would have been more of like a political show. So that's the only reason I started watching. And I got hooked in the first season. Seasons 2, 3, 4, a little bit more of the thriller, like spooky, like I don't want to say spooky, but like it, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss something and then you're going to be confused. Right. And so like I have the ability to watch the genre. It's not like the genre itself sucks. It's just the story behind it, and you need to be able to progress it, right? So that's always been my case, right? But I did get some through the tape itself. It reminded me of Mr. Robot, where Elliot would have full conversations with what was supposed to be his dad, but it was really in his head, and that's what this felt like to me. And so like, I want to like it. There's a ability for me to like it. But here's where the rant comes in. Here's where I want to talk to. I want to talk to wrestling fans in general. This isn't aimed to anyone in particular. This is just to the entire fan base. Dear wrestling fans. And this comes off a tweet that's going to be on the thumbnail of this where I posted. It is going to, I swear it's going to be wrestling fans who make me stop watching wrestling. Here's why. Because there seems to be this ideology going around, and it's not an IWC or a CWC thing. I've seen it from both sides where if you do not agree with the popular opinion of the wrestling community, right? Then you're immediately a hater. If you criticize the popular thing, well, you're immediately a hater. Now, I'm a man of definition. What I mean by that is I like to define terms, right? You can't have a debate. Like, this is just standardized, like, debate 101. If you ever took debate classes or have ever watched anyone break down a debate, and maybe it's just me. Like, I actually sit and watch 2-3 hour debates in full for fun. But the first thing you're supposed to do is define your terms, so that for one of two reasons. One, if the person you're debating is going to may define the terms differently than you, and so it's important to have your definition of the terms, so that when you're speaking, the people you're speaking to understand what you mean. And then secondly, if you have different terms defined, then the argument, it's hard to have a debate when the terms are not defined correctly, right? And so the first thing you need to do is define terms, right? And so so that's what I want to do here. Now, what does it mean to criticize, right? Because critique or a critic, right? All of these come from the same root, right? A critic critiques, and the act of critiquing is criticizing, right? It's all the same word. They're neutral words, right? There's good critique, there's bad critique, but to critique in and of itself is a neutral word, right? Sort of similar to the idea of consequence, right? Our culture views consequences as a negative, but there are good consequences. For example, if you decide to, you know, you're a little bit overweight, you know, or let's just use me for example, right? If I decided every day I was going to wake up and run 2 miles a day, y'all, if that's happening, the end of the world's coming, just letting you know. but if I decided to do that and say, hey, I'm going to run 2 miles a day and I'm going to start, you know, start eating different and all of that, right? The good consequence that comes from that is, well, I get healthier, right? And the other way, if I decide to wake up every day and say, you know what, life sucks, I'm going to go smoke crack every day. You know, that's an extreme example, but there's a negative consequence that will be attached to that, right? And so there's good consequences, there's bad consequences, right? But the consequence, the word itself is a neutral word. Same thing with critique, right? So when, for example, if I called myself an art critic, I'd walk into an art show and I'd write my opinion on the what's going on at the art show, right? A music critic critiques music, either good or bad, right? But to critique is a neutral term. So now that we got that defined, when I come in here and I say I'm going to criticize wrestling, right? Now, first off, I critique everything from the same playing field, right? The same way that I judge Braun Breaker versus Ludwig Kaiser is going to be the same way I judge the Wyatt Six. That's just, it's even playing field, right? And so I have a problem, though, and I said this last week, there seems to be certain things that the wrestling fan base does not allow you to criticize. And it seems like the Wyatts are going to be that, one of those things. That there's going to be this opinion that if you don't like it, you're wrong. And I just don't understand that mindset. Why can't someone have the contrary view to the popular view? I've always said, sometimes the popular view is not wrong. For hundreds of years, the popular view in ancient cultures was that the world was flat and the sun revolved, or in that the world revolved around the sun, right? The sun revolved around the earth. I don't, you know what I'm trying to say, right? They used to believe that the sun was the center of the universe and everything revolved around the sun, right? This was a time when cultures worshiped the sun, right? And then actual science was done and realized, no, not exactly right. The sun revolves around the earth as we spin, right? That's what the science is, right? And they used to believe in these ancient societies that the world was flat and there was an edge to it, and there was actually, you know, these were seafaring people. They believed that if you got too far out, you would fall off, right? And so that's what they, you know, that's where like the sea monster sort of fairy tales came from, because they believed to keep people from sailing too far out, they would tell these stories of sea monsters that would destroy your ship and you would die, right? And then we did real science and realized the world's a globe. It's not flat. You're not going to fall off. There's no such thing as sea monsters, right? Right? And so sometimes the popular view is wrong. It's just popular. And so in this case, why is it such a big deal that there are people who don't like this? And because I've seen it from the casual fan side of the fan base and the more hardcore side of the fan base, where I try to have an opinion on this debate or on this gimmick, but my opinion's wrong. And so now instantly I'm a hater. I'm only doing it for rage bait. I'm only, you know, I have no heart. I'm a bad person, because none of this has ever been said that Bray Wyatt was bad or him as a partner. I've never said that, right? I'm just saying the gimmick itself and the booking historically from the company is not in their favor, right? And I also don't understand this idea. This is really what really ticked me off a few days ago when I changed plans for this show. I don't understand the idea of why, and this is a cultural thing, this isn't just wrestling, but for whatever reason, it seems there's this idea that people can't change their opinion. Right, the way you know rationality works is, let's say I came to you and I was one of these ancient civilizations and said the world was flat, right? Let's say I came to you and said, bro, the world's flat and all of that, right? And I came to you and you guys were like, no, but look, here's all my research, here's everything that I've studied, here's all my research, right? 18 YouTube videos, some bad math. And I told you that's what I believe, right? And then someone came up to me 2, 3, 4, 5 years later and said, hey, your math is wrong. Let me show you why these videos are fake. Let me debunk all of this, right? Let me give you new information, right? And if I receive that new information and change my opinion, that's called growth. Right, that's what it means to be a rational human being. But we don't allow for that in society, but really in the wrestling community. That's what I really want to try to focus on, right? If you hold it, right, everyone always likes to show receipts of like, no, man, 2 years ago you said this. Okay, well, 2 years ago that's what I believed, but when presented with new information 2 years later, I've grown in my understanding of whatever, right? And so, you know, it gets thrown up to me like, and this, there's no shade to any of these people involved that have said these things. I respect your opinion. You have the right to believe it. I just, it baffles me when like, oh, bro, you're playing both sides of the fence. No, I'm not. I have my opinion, and I reserve the right that if presented with new information, to change my opinion, right? Oh man, 8 months ago you did the same thing with CM Punk. You didn't want him back. Now, first off, you misunderstood. It wasn't that I didn't want Punk back. I said that WWE didn't need Punk back. We didn't need him. But if they're gonna have him, and they're going to put him in a hot feud that's going to pique my interest, I'm all for cheering for CM Punk. I'm all for it. New information was presented. He's been pushed in a way that makes him appealing, and so the opinion changed. CM Punk is welcome. I'm cheering for him, right? Why is that not allowed, right? If in three, you know, I've been told by a couple people, you know, you made your bed, you got to stay in it. I don't want you cheering for this in 3 months. If in 3 months, the Wyatt Six presents me with new information where there's a logical, rational story that gets told, and it's not all just spooky mumble jumble that we've got the first 2 weeks. If they turn this into a gimmick that works, and I'm presented with new information, why am I not allowed to then cheer for the gimmick? Right? That is insane. We should be able to be presented with new information and allow people to change their opinions. Because that's one, that's being an adult. That's just being an adult. And two, that's just being that's how rational conversation starts, right? But what this ends up becoming is, like I've said, the way they've presented this is it's for a very, very small particular audience, and they want to gatekeep it. They don't want to allow people to warm up to the idea, right? They don't want people to warm up to the idea that this may be good. But they also, you know, they claim that I'm impatient. You got to wait for... No, I'm not impatient. I know this has long-term implications. But you still got to give me a little bit of like why this happened every single week. And I just don't feel they're doing that. I don't sort of understand what they're doing with... Right? But let me just use my Mr. Robot example. The first season wasn't super confusing, right, at all. But the second season, that caused a lot of headaches watching that show. Just having to pay attention to everything on that show. And that second season, I almost stopped watching the show because it was so just out there and confusing, but eventually they warmed me up to it, right? The sort of trying to figure out that he was talking to his dead dad, and it wasn't just and figuring all of these things out, piecing them together. Yeah, that's fine, but they progressed the story, and they gave answers to questions that would, right? The Wyatts historically have not done that with this gimmick, and so. If in 3 months they start telling me why and they make a good gimmick out of it, why am I not allowed to change my opinion? That's the rant. We need to be able to allow people to be right. And I'll just end it because I'm about to play this react to it. And it's going to come into the Wyatt. And I want to preface it, but I want to say just one more thing. Like, my main critique has been that the presentation of Monday Night Raw has made so big a stride in terms of everything has been presented in some sort of realism, right? And then to sort of hijack that with the spooky, and it's not, the spooky isn't the bad part. It's just the complete nonsensical nature of this gimmick that... Right, and everyone's going to try to find a way to justify having this gimmick on TV and justify them completely just making no sense out of what has happened, right? And look, this was sort of Wavy D's argument. This is no diss to Wavy D. Like, he's entitled to his opinion. But you're talking to someone and me that I was never on the crowd that Chad Gable was dead. I never even, that was never my argument. My argument was this dude got messed up. Like I don't, and they try to, and I get his argument of, well, the internet just over exaggerated his injuries. Yeah, but I didn't. I knew he wasn't dead. But the presentation of him leaking blood from his head and all he comes back with is a small cut on his forehead with a small band-aid, and he comes out like I don't know about you, and I'll just say this, I don't know about you, but if I'm Chad Gable and I get assaulted at work by some monsters in animal costumes. I'm not coming back to work the next week until I'm 100% certain these motherfuckers aren't going to be there. And so not only does he show up to work, he comes to work, acts like nothing happened, and he wins in a physical match against two people who weigh 350 plus. Sorry, I'm just not buying it. I'm just not buying it. This is what I feared would happen. They don't take it seriously. So why should I? That's where I'll end it there for this segment. What I'm about to show you is about an 8-minute, this is what we're going to react to, is about an 8-minute clip of a longer 20-minute video. Because Jim Cornette's sort of reaction to the first week, the debut of the Wyatt Six, is sort of making the rounds. So I don't know if you guys know this, but he does two different podcasts, and the drive-through, I think, is a Thursday show. And this is what this is from. So not yesterday, but the week before. And so this is all we know about. This is all that we've heard, unless you listen to Cornette's drive-through yesterday, I think is when it came out, about week two of the Wyatt Six. I haven't heard it. So this clip is in context of the debut, not of what we saw this past Monday, but just the debut of the Wyatt Six. It's about 20 minutes. I'm only going to take about like an 8-minute segment that comes directly after the quote that's going around. So the quote that's going around essentially was, you know, if you're going to make a horror movie, make a horror movie. And what he meant by that was, you know, if you're going to make, you know, he proceeded it. The next sentence was like, if you're going to make a horror movie, don't insert Hamlet in the middle of it. Because there's going to be fans that are there for Hamlet, and there's going to be fans there that are there for the horror movie, but the Hamlet fans may not be there for the horror movie, so they're not going to watch it. I saw this, and I wanted to find the clip to see what his justification of this was, right? Because everyone immediately started jumping on Cornette about this, and because he ended up saying that the Wyatt Six debut makes AEW look like good television. It looks like serious programming. And I actually have to agree with him because of his reasoning and what he actually meant, right? So a lot of people misunderstood him, and that seems to be the trend in wrestling today, is it, from the wrestling fan base, is especially on the Wyatt Six, is people just don't want to take the time out to understand people's points of views. And so he says this not being serious. This was as a joke. Because everyone who knows Cornette knows that Cornette doesn't like AEW. He thinks it's horse shit. Right. And so if he's saying that, for y'all who may not have ever heard these type of sayings, right, where, you know, oh man, that dude makes Adolf Hitler look like a saint, right? If you're talking about some criminal or whatever, right? You may say something like that, right? You've never heard that? Oh man, that Wyatt Six stuff, it makes AEW look good. That's what he was trying to say. The AEW is shit. So it's still a dunk on AEW. Hey, your program sucks, but it's an even bigger dunk on the Wyatt Six, because if AEW sucks and you're worse than that, that was what he was trying to say. He wasn't saying that compared to all of WWE programming, AEW was good. That's not at all what he was saying. But what people do is they see a headline. They don't get the context of the whole situation. They just see the headline and they react. I don't do that. I look into it. I research. I try to find the facts and the context and the reasoning. Right, there's a process, and then I react. Right, so like I posted the headline and was asked immediately, like, what do you feel about it? okay, let me find the context first. Oh, well, you could tell the context in the quote. No, there's a context. There's a reasoning that comes after why he said that. I want that. I want to know why he believes what he believes. And then I host an opinion. So that's what this is. I'm going to post essentially is the next 8 minutes after he said all of that. Here's his reasoning. And then I'm going to react to it. I'm going to explain it, right? So let me pull up this real quick. One second to get it pulled up. Alrighty. So here, like I said, this is directly only for the first week of the Wyatts, right? I'm assuming he's going to, I don't watch the full Jim Cornette because his shows tend to be like 3 to 4 hours long. So I wait till he clips them up. So I'm assuming sometime in the next like 3 or 4 days that we'll see his takes clipped up about week two of the Wyatts. And then we'll see where that goes. I'm going to watch it. Y'all can check and look for it. I'm not going to continue to talk about the Wyatt Six, to be honest with you. But with that, let's see what Cornette has to say.
This is completely preposterous. It's phony bullshit. You're insulting us. You're insulting our intelligence, putting this on a program of shit of stuff that's supposed to actually be happening.
This goes back into that argument people have that wrestling should be a blank canvas where anything could happen.
Oh, well, then good. Then take that blank canvas, set it down on the floor, drop your pants, squat over it, and take a fucking shit, because that's what it looks like.
When I saw this, and I hate this kind of stuff so badly, but my first thought was this is a really good thing for Tony Khan. If he can get his act together just a little bit right now, and they're going to start infusing this shit on the show, it is... I mean, we'll see. People want to see the spectacle of it, and they'll check it out, but it doesn't mean it'll work, and it doesn't mean they'll stay. And
where does it? It doesn't go anywhere.
The last Bray Wyatt run, again, very sad what happened, but his last run with LA Knight was not good. LA Knight came out of it because it was so not good, and the fans weren't going to accept LA Knight getting beaten down by it, but it wasn't good. He still got a bunch of views when he returned and did his promo and for some of the wacky segments, but it wasn't good stuff. And boy, the show has been so much better without the mystical, spiritual. There was a smoke machine. I mean, it was just smoke everywhere. Did they bring smoke machines and put them all over the place?
Yes. Somebody was smoking a lot. And that's the
thing. Make sure there's smoke. See, I understand they're murdering everyone. Where's the smoke supposed to have come from?
It never goes anywhere, and it never makes any sense. But that's it. With his promo, remember when he came back, Bray Wyatt did the first promo. I said, my God, this guy can talk. He's got him in the palm of his hand, and they listen to him. And it's going to be different. And then it never goes anywhere. He teased you with some tantalizing little bits of, wow, this could be something, but then it never advances. It just continues to be meaninglessly spooky. And now there's six of them. And that's, see what they did? The Wyatt Six, S-I-C-K-S. See what they did there. Tony's booking for the sickos, and WWE is booking the sickos. But there's six of them. Are they good now? Are they just going to kill everybody every week? How can they be stopped? Because they're supernatural.
Where are the police? Where are security? Why are the wrestlers dead? Is Chad Gable dead? There are various people we saw. One guy, it almost looked like he got shot in the head because it was where the blood splatter on the wall behind him was. I mean, that's what it looked like. Did they actually kill? Is that going to be in the storyline? This is an interesting way to write people off. if you wanted to get rid of Bruce in a spectacular way, you could have him shot at Gorilla or whatever happened
here. Well, but that's the thing is that, you know, nobody was identifiable except for Gable. So they didn't really, you know, they just killed extras. Like in the old 60s TV shows, I just killed a few Indians. There's nobody that's really an individual. But there has to be some, fucking consequences to this, doesn't there?
See, this is what's going to suck. If they go in the direction of after everything that happened with Gable and Otis and Gable shoved him down, he got a big pop and it kind of didn't have a big punch or a big anything. If now Otis and Model Girl and Tozawa suddenly feel bad because their buddy's in the hospital.
Yeah.
He was attacked by Monster. Yeah. See, I mean, I don't know. What's Jey Uso going to think? He won the match and all of a sudden they got control of the power grid in the area. So they started playing with the lights and sounds and smoke. Yeah. Again, smoke everywhere.
It was when
I saw that much smoke, I thought Jacob Fatu had already been in the building.
But then the problem was they pretty much massacred everybody that was in charge of putting the show on. So I don't really know how they're going to come back from this unless they hire a whole new crew in the next week or so.
I thought we were done with this Uncle Howdy stuff a couple of years ago.
I thought so much. I really hoped so badly. It's embarrassing.
Can't you guys kill people on NXT? Can't we just have like a designated kill zone? Like, leave that shit off the main roster stuff.
You're
working with TNA now. Go kill whoever you want. Just go wild in TNA, but come on.
Vince used to talk about, we don't want to insult people's intelligence, pal. Insult the fans. Well, you're insulting our intelligence now. Nobody could ever possibly believe this shit.
And, you know, one of the biggest problems with Bray Wyatt, even to some people who really liked it, was that he was invulnerable. You couldn't do anything to hurt him or keep him down, or you could burn him alive. He came back.
Yeah. The only thing that doesn't come back is the babyface's career.
Well, that was it, but at least it was a one-on-one situation. One at a time, babyfaces got destroyed. There's six of these fucking people.
Yes.
And who knows if they have puppets?
And the puppets are even meaner than they are. So, yeah, I mean, they've made such great strides in trying to be more professional and just come off as a program that you would not be looked at as stupid to watch. And then we're back with Vince and his fucking, you know, potty jokes. Same thing. That's what it is. A big potty joke.
That cameraman was going for an Emmy. That guy was. I'm just going to walk past this entire crime scene, filming everything in a very stylistic way. I'll move the camera. I'll move and groove and glide like I'm filming an ECW promo, just moving all over the place as I film one body over here and another over there. And here's the spooky people. Should I run away? No, I'll just get in close and center them, get a good shot.
It looked like Rob Zombie directing an episode of CSI.
Oh, boy. Hopefully they can find it to one show. If they're going to do this kind of shit, and I wish they didn't. You know, like CM Punk's going to be on SmackDown this week. It would be nice if there was a zone where none of this shit's going to happen.
Well, and Raw's hard enough to watch already because 3 hours with only an hour and a half worth of shit in it. They've already got to make everything so long.
If they were insistent, and it seems they are, on doing this kind of thing on their wrestling program, should they, if they are going to do it, confine it to a certain time? Like, if you knew from 10 to 11, that's when, like, supernatural spooky shit was going to happen, but it would be a basic wrestling show for the first 2 hours. Does that make it better, or mixing it throughout the show?
How do they market it? Okay, for the first 2 hours, we're going to actually give you what you might be watching for, and then for the last hour, we're just going to do a bunch of stupid shit. It doesn't make any sense with the context of the rest of the program.
And by the way, they're just going for broke. I don't remember even what it was, but McAfee was just yelling out like either like bullshit or asshole or something. I'm like, man, they're done with USA. They're going to do whatever they want on this show for the rest of the contract.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to kill USA before they go for not outbidding the other folks. Well, I don't know. I don't like this. I don't want to see any more of this.
All right. So that was Jim Cornette. I don't remember his co-host name, to be honest with you, but that was both of their take on the week one of the Wyatt Six. And when things like this get said, right, when I have an opinion and then someone who has been in the business, now let me just lay this out here, I don't necessarily like everything Jim Cornette says. I think his wrestling takes are spot on. As a person, I think he's a decent human being. I don't know him personally. I did have a lot of disagreements with him on other areas. You know, he blocked me on Twitter because of a political argument, right? But from as a wrestling mind, this dude's done everything you can in the business. And a lot of people will consider him old school, but I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing, right? And so when someone says something of Jim Cornette's caliber and they say something, and it matches up point for point for my thought process, I believe I'm on the right path. I believe that puts me that I'm on the right path to that Jim Cornette or someone like that. Like, I didn't form my opinion because of Jim Cornette. I had formed my opinion, listened to Cornette two days ago for the first time. My opinion's been this way for 2 weeks, listened to his response for the first time 2 days ago, and it confirmed my opinion, right? He said a lot of things that I've been saying. Let's just start listing them off. So the first thing is, you know, and this was one of the first things that I initially had brought up. They whatever they did, you know, obviously Gable's not dead, but everyone else there, the extras that they used, you know, you had the dude that, like they said, looked like he had been, you know, brain blasted. And everyone else looked, and Gorilla looked, you know, dead. Who's running the show? Like I don't think anyone ever thought about that. Did they hire a brand new crew to run Gorilla? Who's running the show? Right? They brought that up. That was one of the first points that I made. Right? And how do you make it more realistic? Well, Gorilla's dead. Technically, there's no one in charge. You could have like anarchy backstage and people interrupting segments just for the hell of it, because there's no direction, right? Make it chaos. Right? And that's what this group should be, is sort of like a chaos agency, that all they're there for is to create chaos, and they create ultimate chaos immediately by taking out Gorilla. There's no one in charge of the show. You know, the inmates run the asylum. Adam Pearce has really no one to really, you know, he can't control it by himself because there's no other producer, right? That would have been fun. But now it's business as usual in Gorilla, even though it just got destroyed the week, right? So they brought up that point. They bring up, you know, a point that I didn't even consider: the smoke. Like, it's a nice effect, but like, what in reality, that doesn't happen. Like, smoke just came out of nowhere. They went to, you know, they came to destroy they came to bring their massacre, they promised, but they stopped at Party City on the way and bought a bunch of smoke machines and plugged them in after they massacred everyone just for the effect. Right? That doesn't happen in real life. You know, I guess they stopped at Party City on the way there, and they stopped at Whataburger on the way out. You know, that's some of the news, and I actually agree with Mark Henry on this one, that, you know, if you're going to portray this type of gimmick, you have to live the gimmick. You can't go around taking photos with people at restaurants. You can't. It completely destroys the illusion. So this is what I'm saying. They don't take it seriously. So why should I? Why should I? You completely destroy the illusion that Bo Dallas or Taylor Rotunda and all of this group of guys, that they just brought a massacre, and instead of running from the cops, they stop at Whataburger to take pictures with a fan after just massacring the backstage gorilla area of WWE, right? You see how they don't take it serious? You see, you know, they don't actually believe that this is real, but the rest of the product is. Bron Breakker is a badass, right? When you present 95% of your product as this is real life, right? They brought up, I believe later in, you know, after the 8 minutes that I shared, I think they bring up the idea that they just ruin all of Chad Gable's momentum, or they sort of hinted at that as well, that they sort of just took Chad Gable, and that's been one of my biggest points, is that Gable didn't need to be involved in this because he already had a better story. Right? But for the clip, right? You know, you get random fog machines, smoke machines. You killed Gorilla, but apparently they're still running shows. Some of the co-hosts I don't agree with, like, don't do this on NXT, please don't. You know, Cornette brings up a good point, like how do you market this? Everything else is based in reality, but we're gonna give you the meanlessly spooky stuff at some point during the show. How do you market it? It's for such a small audience. None of this is a criticism of any of the wrestlers themselves. It's just the gimmick doesn't fit in this era and of WWE that's sort of based off of this hyper-realism where you don't really necessarily have to suspend belief in anything. Like, I actually believe that Bron Breakker is a badass. Like, like he is. When you present your product as a sports entertainment avenue, right? So Vince has always, he's always called it sports entertainment, but he's never really laid into the sports aspect of what it means to be sports entertainment. It's always been entertainment. And so in 1998, the Wyatt Six would have worked because everything was, you know, suspend your belief, right? Because Austin was beating the fuck out of his boss. That doesn't happen in real life. You know, Undertaker was a dead zombie. You had his demon brother. You had a guy in the early 2000s that ran around and thought he was a hurricane, right? You just, like, in that era of WWE where it was solely everything was suspend your belief, this works. But that 95% of Raw is not suspend your belief. It's, we're going to put on an actual sports program, and we're going to have interactions in our gimmicks. Even like the Judgment Day stuff, like what Liv Morgan is doing with Dom and Finn and all that, that's a real life situation. And they're reacting the way that would happen in real life. But then 15, 20 minutes later, excuse me, you make everyone have to change the reality that they're in. Right. And I mean, understanding the context of this video and that it was before this week where they're asking questions like, is Chad Gable dead? Like that, these were the questions that went through my head when Raw went off the air on the debut episode. Is Chad dead? Gorilla's gone. Who's going to run the show? Right? Like, I asked the same questions. And so to sort of wrap this all up, everyone's like, oh, Cornette's too old. He doesn't understand it, blah, 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 blah. why can't someone have this opinion? Why wrestling fans can we not like it's going to be right. There's going to be a point with this gimmick that I actually am going to contemplate. I already am going to predict this. If it continues the way it's going to go, I'm going to continue to criticize it the way that I'm criticizing it. And at some point, the wrestling fans are just going to continue to give me hate and shit about my opinion. And I'm just going to say, you know what? The same thing that I did. Like, this is the reason why a year ago I stopped posting wrestling content on Twitter or on TikTok. And really don't really talk about it on Twitter all that much. Anytime that I post a contrarian view based on logic and rationale, which is what they're trying to present the show as, it gets critiqued and criticized. And I'm a bad person and I don't understand wrestling. Why don't you just go? Okay, you know what's going to happen? I'll just stop watching. Right? Because I like wrestling a lot. I do. But I don't have to watch it. Right? I don't have to do a podcast about it. I don't have to. I do this for me. Right? I don't care about clicks. Everyone thinks that I have this opinion to for the clicks, for rage bait to get, you know, that's all fine and dandy. I don't care that I have it. You know, I only bring up that I have a 10,000 view video, not because I'm happy about it, but that the fact that my opinion pisses so many people off that it went viral. It should not have gone viral. I have like 1,000 followers. It should not have garnered the amount of attention that it did, but and I did nothing to market it or promote it. I'm just sitting here posting my opinions. If everyone stopped listening, stopped commenting, stopped watching, and I'm just sitting here talking through a microphone for me, that's all this is for me. It's a way for me to express what I feel about wrestling. And it's really for me. I don't really care about the clicks. I don't really care about the views. I'm just going to tell the world how I feel, and we're going to move on with it. Right? I just don't understand why when people have a view that goes against certain parts of what is considered the popular view, why we can't have those opinions. And then to wrap it up, why can't I change my opinion if new information, like if Wyatt Six is good, is Jim Cornette going to be able to praise it, or are they going to be like, oh, Jim, you were shitting on this 2 months ago? Okay, well, 2 months ago it was shit, but they got it better, right? If they do something with it, am I not allowed to like it because I initially didn't like it? Because that's kind of strange. It doesn't work in any other situation in life ever. It just doesn't, right? And I don't know. So let me know what you guys think. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Links to the WWE shop, to the Discord, to the Junkyard Media Group website, all of that is in the description of the video. Thank you all for watching and listening. I do appreciate it. Leave us a review if you're listening on podcast networks. Like, share, subscribe, share with your friends. Tune in on Tuesday as we predict Money in the Bank. Next Friday will be a NXT heat wave prediction. Also, don't forget, we have a special guest on Tuesday, but it's also the first week we're bringing back the Thirsty Tuesday with the men's tournament, the first round that will be done starting next Tuesday. So y'all tune in. Cannot wait for that. We got a special guest. Come check them out. And with that, y'all have a great rest of your day and have a great weekend. I'll see y'all on Tuesday. Brother, I'm going. If I like get some moments.